Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning. I know we're believing for many things, and you know, throughout the church world, I think there's just so many strategies being developed of how to impact this world with the kingdom of God. It's a mixture of revelation and human ambition and human ideas, that's pretty typical. But yet I think the heart behind things is good. There is that desire, that cry of Abba, Father, that cry that God's ways and God's rule be established in this earth. We recognize that in earth as it is in heaven is a prayer, but it's not the reality yet. Heaven operates one way. On earth, we're still subject to things that God wants to free us from. Oneness, I think, is really going to be more and more an issue to the body of Christ. Because in the heavenly realm, oneness is the atmosphere. And yet we see on this earthly plane, whether you're in church or out of church, so much division. And the enemy's always trying to be divisive and speak lies and cause people to break relationship. And we don't realize that until we have oneness within the body of Christ, Christ will not be seen by this world. Oneness is the atmosphere for the Father and the Son to appear. Now, I don't know about when things are going to happen, but one thing I do know, that God wants to establish something in his people first, an atmosphere and a climate of oneness where he can be seen. And then all the externals are going to take place the way he said. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, if you would, or you can read it later. They're questioning, of course, the Lord right before he leaves. He told them, you don't know the time when the kingdom's going to be restored. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the world. These were his last words. These were his last words. We should pay attention to that. We're never going to figure the Father's timing out, but what we can do is be in a place to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the Holy Spirit, but to be baptized, Holy Spirit and fire, to see the Holy Spirit come forth in a greater way, that's where our focus needs to be. He says, when the Holy Spirit is your reality, you'll be my witnesses, starting in Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Now, their mindset did not include the ends of the earth. At that time, they believed the gospel was for the Jewish people and Jewish people only. Remember later on in Acts, what a transition it was when they realized that the gospel was for the Gentiles too. But Jesus is saying right here, when the Holy Spirit comes, there's going to be a oneness of heart, and the witness and the light from that oneness will start right here in Jerusalem, but it's going to go far beyond the boundaries of your own thinking. It's going to go to the ends of the earth. And when oneness prevails, the light of the gospel has no limitation. We're going to change a lot the more we see through the reality of oneness. The Lord is going to teach us more and more of how to relate correctly, relating more in the Spirit to cultivate this oneness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, I believe, but again, I'm reading by the Message Bible, so that may be not so helpful, but you can read it later. He says, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. He's talking about a new way of relating. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life begins. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. If we want it, we're going to be able to see each other in a fresh new way by the Spirit. Now, what's interesting about this is when God gives us this new life, it doesn't transform or change our personalities or remove us from a human state. So that's why most believers still look at people and see faults and criticize those faults. Because with the old set of eyes, we're going to see the human side. God does not take our humanity away, but he will give us eyes to see the treasure that's in the human vessel, if we really want to see it. Two things have to happen. Our minds have been conditioned to be judgmental, and we enjoy our opinions that we have of one another. We enjoy being able to sit in a seat and make judgments, saying, this is what's wrong with that person, and only if they would change in this or that way. Boy, I tell you, that nothing causes more marital problems than that judging and saying, you know, if you'd only be different. The truth of the matter is, love needs to be unconditional. I'd like you to be different, but I accept you as you are, and I'm going to love you as you are. So that critical eye, that looking for what's wrong, we need to be released from. Because as long as we're critical, we are not seeing the treasure in one another. We're not looking or relating to the new creation. Second thing is, to relate to one another in the Spirit means we stop putting people on pedestals. Paul talked about, some say I'm of Paul, some say I'm of Apollos. In other words, what they were doing is they're making heroes out of the ministries. He said, don't do that. One waters, one plants, one waters, but it's God who gives the increase. That's the only issue. And I think what's really hurt the gifts of the Spirit from having the full effect that God wants is that we've taken people with the gifts and put them in a place they should not be. Then we don't see the fruitfulness of the ministry. Nobody should be on a pedestal. When you look up, you see the Lord. True ministry is never between you and God. You want to see where true ministry is? Look down at your feet. They're the ones washing your feet. They're the ones serving you. In John chapter 13, the Last Supper, Jesus goes to wash the disciples' feet. And you remember that he said, you know, I have all authority in heaven and earth. And he knelt down. And Peter goes, you're not going to do this. No, I see you high and exalted. You don't belong down there. Jesus said, Peter, if you don't let me do this, you have no part of me. In other words, the spirit you're of, the thinking you're of, has nothing to do with who I am. Peter goes, wait a minute. Okay, Lord, wash all of me. He goes, that's not necessary. He looked at the disciples and he said, this is John 13, do you understand what I'm doing to you? You call me master and teacher, and you do so correctly. Now, as your master and teacher, if this is how I relate to you, on my knees, that's the only way you can wash someone's feet, right? On your knees. Do likewise to one another. What was he conveying? That the way that God displays his authority is not from people on pedestals. It has nothing to do with idolatry. The humility of heart is where you find the true authority of the Lord. And the way God's authority looks like, how it looks like in heaven, I tell you, our minds need to be vastly renewed to come to understand this. God's mighty authority is seen when you look down at your feet. It's always in a place of serving. When's it going to take to get through to us? That's where he wants us, on our knees. What happens when we have that posture and that attitude of heart of being on our knees and how we relate to one another? We are creating oneness. That is the atmosphere of oneness. Without humility, there is no oneness. Because it's the pride that always brings divisions, isn't it? But where there's that humility of washing one another's feet, that's where the oneness of God's heart can be established. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Excuse me. Paul said, be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Be devoted in loving one another. Excuse me. Honor one another above yourself. We're called to be a culture of honor. How do we truly honor one another? It's when people are above ourselves, when we establish the fact that others are more important than our own selfish needs. Culture of honor comes from those that become comfortable being on their knees in how they relate to others. Now we can all say that before God. Well, I bow before you, Lord. You're great. You're wonderful. Yes, we need to have that attitude. But Jesus said, not only do you have that attitude to me, but you're to have that attitude toward one another. And that's where we run into problems, don't we? But this culture of honoring one another, which is the kingdom of God, is when we're on our knees serving one another. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife, vainglory, but through the humility of mind, esteem each other better than yourself. I know we're all familiar with that, but let nothing be done with vainglory, striving, trying to make your mark in the world, make a name for yourself. We all have that insecurity in our ego. We want to be important. But when you can lay that aside, you're welcoming the kingdom of God and the atmosphere of his presence and oneness within you. The difference in the earth is this. Without oneness, God can move through various gifts, but it's like God interrupting the futility that's out there. But the futility doesn't end. When there's the oneness of spirit, that releases the presence of God. So it's not just God moving over here or moving over there or God interrupting our natural flow of living. When there's oneness, his presence releases us from futility, removes the futility from this realm where we can live in a different atmosphere, the atmosphere of heaven. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Paul says, who in the world do you think you are to second-guess God? Do you for one moment suppose any of us knows enough to call God into question? Clay doesn't talk back to the fingers that mold it, saying, why did you shape me like this? Isn't it obvious that a potter has a perfect right to shape one lump of clay into a vase for holding flowers, another into a pot for cooking beans? And we can read on with that. But that's the attitude of humility, isn't it? We recognize our place as clay, and God as the potter. We don't call God into question as to what he's doing. Now, if I'm not humble, I am constantly calling God into question over what he's doing, because he's not doing it my way. But if I'm on my knees and I'm relating to others on my knees, I may not like the way things are unfolding, but there's that deep awareness that God is in control. Only the humble know that God is in control. And it's from that place of humility that we inherit the earth. The meek inherit the earth. I believe it. It's true. The proud try to inherit. The proud reach for and grab for and try to take control. But pride will always fail. Human pride will always fail. It's not control. It's an illusion of control. It's the meek, the humble, that will inherit the earth, that come into true authority and power. Let me close with this, John chapter 17. Verse 20, or thereabouts. Jesus is saying the goal for all of them is to become one heart and mind. And here's his prayer for us. His goal for us is to become one heart and mind. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they will be unified and together as we are, I and them, you and me. They'll be able to mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you sent me and love them in the same way you love me. Beautiful picture here. The godless world that we struggle with, the godless flesh and human nature we struggle with in ourselves, all disappears and gives way to oneness. Father and Jesus are one, and he said that. He didn't stop there. He said, we're one with him. When he went to the cross, that sacrifice meant that we share in the same oneness that he has with the Father. And it's in that atmosphere of oneness that the godless world gets a revelation of who Jesus Christ is and who the Father is. Evangelism should not be people trying to talk other people out of their beliefs. Too much of it's that way. Changing someone's thinking. And a lot of times, I think Christians can have a false sense of pride of, well, I'm coming from the Bible. The Bible's the true word of God, which it is. And the way you think and your religion's wrong. So I'm going to try to convince you to think like I think. This is not a true witness or testimony. When there's a spirit of oneness, there's going to be humility. You don't try to talk someone out of something. You manifest something greater. When they can see Jesus Christ in you, when they can see the heart of the Father, then they will let go of thinking that is an error. And they will grab onto the Word of God. We talk about honor. And it's one thing to see that established in the body of Christ, and it needs to be. I think if you have a heart that wants to honor people, it doesn't stop. There's no barriers. It doesn't stop with your church. It doesn't stop with the Christian churches in the world. What about the people of other religions that believe differently? What about people that are hostile? If you're part of that culture of honor, there's going to be the same attitude of humility in relating to people that don't believe the way you believe. It's an attitude of heart. And it relates to all of humanity the same way. And in that attitude, oneness is seen. And what oneness does is it produces a clear revelation of who God is. No matter how godless a person may be, no matter how stubborn their thinking, nothing is greater than a revelation of the Father's heart coming through his people. Amen. Okay, Lord, bless the word this morning.